God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. When I lived in New Jersey, I would spend on my Monday afternoons, I would go over to an organic food co-op we had in town, and I'd volunteer there. And this was really great for an extrovert like me because I got to stand at the cash register. And I'd get to chat it up with everybody who comes along and, you know, have good conversations with them. One day, one guy came up to the register, and I was checking him out, and I don't know what we were talking about, but he says to me in the conversation, "Well, my boss is a Jewish carpenter." And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, brother. I mean, what a corny bumper sticker line is this?" And this guy's probably going to start his Jesus talk with me. And then Mr. My Boss is a Jewish Carpenter looks at me and he said, "Well, here's my card. If you ever need anything, I work for Leibowitz Cabinetry." There's something about when people wear their religion on their sleeve. I mean, we can even be a little jaded by this. I mean, let's be honest. We love Jesus. We have an active prayer life. But I find it somewhat disconcerting when somebody brings up their Jesus talk. And this Jesus talk has permeated American society so much that there's even a subculture within our society. There are Christian versions of everything. Everyday things you can think of, there is a Christian version of it. There's Christian rock, Christian dating, Christian movies, Christian board games, Christian Academy Awards. Yes, even Christian breath mints. Is nothing sacred? Well, these are the kinds of things that usually make Episcopalian skin crawl a bit. And today's gospel reading seems to be the reading for Episcopalians, because we just don't do good with public piety. Garrison Keillor, who himself is an Episcopalian, says, "Episcopalians believe in prayer, but would practically die if anyone asked to pray out loud." And so we hear the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And you think about the Pharisee, who's traditionally the good guy in that society, and the tax collector, who's traditionally the bad guy in that society. And so here we have these two guys going into the temple at the same time, and the Pharisee prays, but you can imagine he's probably praying loud enough that everybody can hear him. "I thank you, God, that I'm not like all these other people, these sinners, you know, all those types, and especially that guy over there. And, you know, I do all these good things like I'm supposed to." Meanwhile, the tax collector just says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." For those of us who become uncomfortable with public displays of piety, this reading really is going to speak to us. Because, especially here we are, you know, the frozen chosen. And here we have it. Jesus vindicates us. Jesus says, you know, we need to be humble and not make a show of our piety. End of story. I wonder, though, if we might sometimes use this idea of humility as an excuse. Yes, we want to be humble. We want to be authentic, and we don't want to put anyone off with our religious talk. But does that mean we should completely hide our faith? And in hiding our faith from others, might we fall into sometimes not ourselves practicing our faith at all? Episcopalians often get accused of sitting on the fence. seems like people will say that we just can't decide whether we want it this way or that. Or they'll say, well, you people just want to have your cake and eat it too. Which really makes me want cake. Yeah, thanks. Well, much of this really is a misunderstanding of how our theology works. A misunderstanding of this tradition we have of via media. Via media is a Latin term. It literally means middle way. It's something that came out in our tradition during the time of Elizabeth I. There had been all kinds of controversy going on. You had Henry VIII, then you had Edward VI, who really sort of, when the country swung Protestant, and then you had Mary I, and the country swung back Catholic, and then here came Elizabeth. And all this infighting going on in the country, and she just said enough with it. And so what it meant at the time was, via media, was that we could practice our faith in any varied manner as long as we can all agree on a few core values. And it became a way to balance Catholic practice with Protestant ideas. And this tradition has held on for us to this day. And today this middle way often translates in our contemporary circumstance to learning to balance varied ideas that often live in tension with one another. It's the Anglican way. To be able to hold two seemingly contradictory ideas in tension. But living in this tension of two conflicting ideas, while we may claim it, is not at all unique to our Anglican tradition. This idea is really a very human idea. It's something that everybody experiences. It is one that Christianity has always lived with, trying to justify how to deal with these tensions and these conflicts. And so now we go back to this tension of being humble and still being able to practice our faith. While we do not want to make a show of our faith, we are still called to live a Christian life and let our light shine before others. So there's the rub. It's reading from Sirach. It says, "Do not offer God a bribe, for he will not accept it. And do not rely on a dishonest sacrifice, for the Lord is the judge, and with him there is no partiality." It's an interesting idea, the idea of trying to bribe God, as if this would be possible. And so here we are stuck trying to do these things that we're supposed to do. And so the question really is, it is not whether we are doing those things we are supposed to do, that is, praying, giving to the poor, doing good works, and so on, the question really is, are we being authentic when we are doing them? The Bible calls us to do all these things that a Christian does. But we are not to do them for our own ego or for selfish gain. It's all about motivation. It's all about why. Why are we doing what we are doing? Ultimately, Christians are called to be selfless. We're called to empty ourselves, and we are called to do things to build up God's kingdom. We're called to better the lives of others. We're called to deeper spiritual fulfillment. And yes, the side effect is that those are things that make us better people, but are not selfishly motivated. So, if someone is a Christian because that person wants attention or personal gain through it, then is that person actually acting in a Christian way? If I talk about my faith, am I doing it because I think it will help the person to whom I am speaking? Or is it because I want the other person to think more highly of me? If I pray out loud, is it because I am praying with someone? Or is it because I want them to think that I am good at praying? If I give of myself, going back to Sirach here, if I give of myself, is it because I want to make a difference in the world to help out? Or is it because I think I can impress God? See, dealing with motivations is complicated because we're human, and our human lives are complicated. But understanding why we do things, trying to understand our motivations, to understand why we do something or say something or act in a certain way is part of our spiritual growth. It helps us to become more authentic in our faith. We do not need to wear our faith on our sleeve, but we do need to wear our faith on our hearts. Praying is a good thing. Talking about our faith is a good thing. Being generous, as I'm sure our stewardship committee would like me to say, is a good thing. But we have to do them in an authentic way, a way that is to build up others and not ourselves. So let us be the people that God has called us to be. Not a people of empty gestures, but a people of genuine faith. Amen.